So you have to really be on another planet or off in the Delta Quadrant looking at stars somewhere or fighting great Star Wars to not know that we're doing an incredible series in this first term in 2014. And here's a video that kind of links a little bit of last week and this week. Dramatic stuff, I'm sure you'd agree. How many of you are eagerly anticipating the next installment in the trilogy, which is going to be a four-logy in terms of the movies? So last week we spoke about finding passion or fire for loving. And we noticed that when I look across the room, like I did when I was visiting a certain friend and looked up and saw the most beautiful woman that I'd ever seen in my life, and I couldn't breathe, I was choked up, I was starting to sweat, and I was like weak at the knees, and there was this apparition of pure beauty dropped out of heaven, Debbie Austin. And I knew that I got to make her my wife. There was that moment of like, who is she? Where does she come from? Why haven't I met her yet? What can she do for me? What can I do for her? And we saw that with Katniss and Peter in the Hunger Games, how that when she saw him at the reaping, she realized that this was going to be someone very significant, a little different in that they were going to live or die together, right, in the arena. But she began to ask those questions. What has he done? He's a baker's boy. He fed me. He kept me alive at one point. What can he do for me in the future? Can he help me win these games? And we saw that love is not selfish. Hopefully, that's why we give and receive. And we saw that she was going to ask at some point, so what can I do for him? We saw that's how our relationship with God goes. Who is God? What has he done? And you heard this morning in our worship, he is Alpha and Omega. He is our strong tower, our fortress, our deliverer. When we begin to realize who he is and what he's done and what he can do for us, we just fall in love with him deeper and deeper, and then we want to respond to him by giving him our love. So today we want to have a look at how do we get fire for listening, okay? The guys in the front here, I want you to keep calm and pass the test, right? So if you boys can get as quick as possible, some of you go to the back, and you guys are going to get a piece of paper as well at the back. Give you a little test. We're a bit pressurized for time, obviously, because it's like Sunday morning, so you can't dilly-dally, and if you fail the test, you will go back a grade in high school. I know where you go to school, and I will be emailing your principal to suggest that you go back a grade. And homeschoolers, I have your parents' address too. So you've got a pen, you've got a piece of paper, and you can start. Pens are coming. You can start. Your time's cut short. Footy's feeling the pressure already. I'm hearing some people excellent at following directions. You hear that? I see another done. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Time's up. Put your pen on the desk. Step away from your papers. Let me read the directions. Can you follow directions? This is a time test. You only have 2 minutes. Read everything carefully before doing everything. Anything. What did that say? Read everything carefully before doing everything. How many of you did that? Before answering. What does question number 19 say? Only write your name. How many of you read the whole thing first? Most of you didn't, right? Because you didn't really need to do it all. Doesn't listening play a key role in passing or failing at school? Right? It does. Seriously. Well, let's take a look at listening in the arena. Now, because I'm not the world's greatest expert on the Hunger Games, I went to our very own Katniss and asked her for some help with this message. So thanks to Daniela, here is where listening plays quite a key role in the Hunger Games, okay? And when Katniss, as you know, went out hunting in the woods, well, let me show you what it looks like. Strange, right? Because what happened there? There's this huge sign, danger voltage. She just waltzes through the fence. What's with that? This is what you would read in the book if you're one of those readers. You know, those like words and stuff. It goes, I always take a moment to listen carefully for the hum that means the fence is live. So when she gets to the fence, if she doesn't hear the hum, then you can touch it. You can go through. Could you imagine how carefully you'd have to navigate? I leaned through at a lion park where I'm taking the Bethel Fort tomorrow morning, and I touched the electric fence a while ago. I got the shock of my life. I was like, oh! And I don't know how the camera was still working. I mean, my hair all started falling out. It went gray because I'm actually 21. We listen to avoid danger, and that's what Katniss teaches us. Secondly, listening is also about sharing information. If I'm going to be able to send and receive information, watch what she does. When you're in a place where you don't want to just shout out, what do you do? How do you send information?
You smoke like crazy, so as soon as you light it, move on.
Great example, right? Of in a quiet environment, listening out, using the incredible ability of a mockingjay who's able to both mimic and repeat that sound by way of communication. So look out for mockingjays if you ever want to send information, especially in the exam. If you want to cheat, you just call it out and let the mockingjay tell your friend. I know that's kind of cheating, hey? I don't know. Maybe they changed the rules in your school. Some of you go to Parktown, and it doesn't matter there if you cheat because they're trying to beat the other schools. There's another way that listening goys down, and I meant the boys' school, Caitlin, not the girls' school, so it's okay. Okay. The third way that we see in the arena is listening to get information. Watch one of the most chilling scenes where at some point the tributes freeze, stop, and just start staring up into the sky.
And, of course, there's the familiar boom of the cannon, which marks the end of another fallen tribute.
Freaky, eh? Gathering information, finding out, listening, leaning in, hearing what's out there. Sometimes listening is important to be able to act quickly. If you're going to try and outrun a fire if the wind's going, chances are you're not going to make it out alive. That's why animals get burned in the fire. She heard it long before she saw it. As it was, she got a bit wounded, didn't she? It was hectic. Jessica has a blog, Jessica Can Wave, one of the Bethel Four, and I saw this picture this week without the guy in the suit, but in Soshinguve, something interesting they learned is that everyone in the community has a whistle, and if someone starts breaking into your house, you blow the whistle, and everyone starts blowing a whistle, and everyone comes running, and they beat the guy senseless, and they get your stuff back. Okay, I think we should have whistles from now on at youth. So if someone's like stealing my phone, then we all like all blow the whistle. But it's the idea of listening out so that we can act early. There's one more example where you can listen to get resource, to receive something new that will benefit you. For example, this little thing. Anyone ever seen that? It's something that drops out of the heavens sometimes. Well, only in the Hunger Games. It looks like this. There it comes. Without good listening skills, there is no way that she would have survived in the arena. She would have lost her life. I want to think about listening in God's arena for a moment. I want to take you into some scriptures. For example, James 1:19 says, "Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." It is quick to hear. Notice he's kind of leaning forward. Sometimes posture helps. Slow to speak. How many of you would class yourselves as slow to speak? I could tell you who they are. I know which ones of you are. Put your hands up if you're slow to speak by nature. There are. There are some guys. Okay? How many of you are not slow to speak? My hands up. My hands high. I speak first and then I sometimes think a bit later. I really shouldn't have said that. If only I'd thought a bit more and been more careful. Number one, think. Only number two is speak. slow, quick to listen, slow to speak. There's a great old Native American proverb. He's not an old Native American. Who knows who he is? Yeah. Listen or your tongue will make you deaf. Listen or your tongue will make you deaf. Because we're speaking and we can't hear. I can't believe this verse is in the Bible. Proverbs 18:13. Answering before listening is both stupid and rude. It's quite a fresh translation of it, don't you think? It's stupid and it's rude to not speak, to not listen before you speak. One more. Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. Have you ever got yourself into trouble with something you've said? Man. Just rewind the tape, the video, and go back. And if I'd, only I didn't say that. And a last verse. Listen to advice and accept discipline. And at the end, you will be counted among the wise. We will revisit that in the application section about being counted among the wise because we listen to advice and accept discipline. Who for 1,000, no, let's make it 10,000 rand. Just go to Chris afterwards if you're the winner here and he'll give you $100. For 1,000 rand, what is that? Yes? Chinese what? Writing, script. What do you think it says? Who can interpret that? Who's Chinese? Come on, Shan? Come on, Michael? Come on, Antoinette? No one Chinese in here? No, that's sad. It is the verb to listen. It's made out of four different things. Those are ears on the left. They look like ears if you go sideways and kick your feet up behind you. Can you see that? No, I'm just kidding. To learn, to listen, is to give you my... It's to listen, okay? I shouldn't have put the word learn there. I'm getting old. To listen is to give you my ears. It's to give you my eyes, to give you my undivided attention, to give you my heart. Whoa, what a definition of listening. Listening is giving someone your ears. Okay, you look weird when you've given them your ears, but that's why we have plastic surgery, so you can get new ones. I give you my eyes. You can go to the eye doctor for new ones. I give you my undivided attention and my heart. I'm going to suggest that listening doesn't often happen. Not if that's the whole definition. Maybe China has got a whole lot to teach us. Can I bring it to your world now? Can I talk about listening in your arena? The arena that you are called up to play, to compete in, to have action in. I want to think about five areas where listening is important. And the first one, obviously, is listening to sounds. Sounds in the environment around you. I mean, even in that room, I'm sure there's sounds all around. There's the sound of a coffee being made in the background. There's some little birds tweeting and stuff, and there's sounds. I mean, imagine being out on the streets of Joburg where they've been filming the new movie 10 Minutes for the Avengers this week. And can you imagine the cacophony of sounds? Sometimes it's really important to actually listen, because what if you were in a situation where your ability to hear would be the difference between life and death? Would you still be alive? If my dad is walking down the street on his own and he's about to cross the road and there's a car hooting, he's just crossing, man. Because he doesn't hear very well. Those ears have been working overtime for 80-something years. They're tired now. Tired. Tired. Finished. Would you survive? We need to stop and listen. Where you find yourself in the day, stop and listen. Lean in. Listen. Listen carefully. I'm going to challenge you to keep calm and listen carefully. Listen carefully and see if you know the answer to this. Is there any law against a man marrying his widow's sister? Is there any law against a man marrying his widow's sister? Anyone? Do you think there is a law? Do you know of a law like that? Why not? To have a widow, he has to be dead. Thank you very much. Okay. If you had only one match and entered a cold room that had a lamp in it and an oil heater and a wood stove, which would you light first for maximum heat? The lamp, or do you think the oil heater, the stove, and you got just one match? Which would you light first? You think the match? Yeah, otherwise, how do you light the lamp? Very good. How many animals of each species did Moses take aboard the ark during the great flood? Of each species? Two? Two? Oh, it wasn't Moses, it was Noah, sorry. How many birthdays does the average man have, or the average woman? How many birthdays does the average man? Once a year. So, like, depending on how long they live. Those aren't birthdays, those are anniversaries of the birthday. There's just one, Futhi, thank you. According to international law, if an airplane should crash on the exact border between two countries, and would unidentified survivors be buried in the country they were traveling to or the country they were traveling from? Huh? Shan says you don't bury survivors. Well, there's laws against that. There are laws against that. An archaeologist claims to have dug up a coin that is clearly dated 46 BC. Is his claim true? An archaeologist has dug up a coin and it's clearly marked 46 BC. Is his claim true that this is a genuine coin from 46 BC? Why not? Hey? Who knows? The word BC means? Do you think someone 46 years before Christ engraved a coin? Christopher Dominic's got it. You can't have that on the coin because we only knew about Christ coming when he came because they weren't looking at the Old Testament prophecies. A man builds an ordinary house with four sides, but each side is facing south. A bear comes to the door and rings the doorbell. What color is the bear? A man builds a house with four sides and they're all facing south. You know you have a north-facing house or south-facing. A bear comes to the door and rings the doorbell. What color is the bear? Joe. Why what? Why is it in the North Pole? Only in the North Pole can all the sides be facing south. Last one. Some months have 31 days. Some have 30 days, but how many months have only 28 days? One. Futhi, why? Because there's only one February. Does January not have 28 days? Does it have less than 28 days? Oh, it's a trick question. Can you see how important it is to really, truly listen? Keep calm and listen carefully. Another area that we need to do to listen is to listen to people. People around us in conversations. There's a movie, Fantastic Mr. Fox, with George Clooney as the Mr. Fox. And it's not brand new. I just stumbled across it this week. Here's a little snippet.
Remember, they aren't very smart, but they're incredibly paranoid. So always kill a chicken in one bite. One bite, get it? Are you listening to me? I look into your eyes and I can't tell whether you're getting anything I'm saying.
He's clearly not listening, okay? Let me throw your way some skills for listening, okay? Six different skills that will make you a turbocharged Uber listener and you will win the $1 million. Remove distractions. It's when I'm distracted that it all goes wrong, doesn't it? Secondly, use your body. Use your body to show you're listening. I've been speaking about leaning forward a bit today. Maintain eye contact, but don't stare the dude. Don't like, yo, I'm listening, dude. Listening, I'm listening. And that's just like scary. You're going to report me to some website or something. You know what I mean? But maintain contact and like lean forward and like do things that show by your mannerisms. I have to sometimes like put the computer away and actually like, yeah, I'm listening. The moment you're distracted, it just doesn't work. Stop rehearsing. You know what I do when you speak? I immediately start to speak about my response. And I start to plan what I'm saying. And I'm not very good because I'm male. I can't multitask. We actually do one thing at a time. We're not a very bright species, the male species. Females, on the other hand, can actually quite merrily watch TV, iron, plan the budget, and call a friend and say, oh, you okay? Can I counsel you? Us guys, we do that one on a Monday, one on a Tuesday, one on a Wednesday, one on a Thursday, okay? Because we just can't handle too much information. And so don't use it that time when someone's talking. Even if you feel like when the person is finished, you say, let me just think about that for a moment. Hey, I've had an idea. Maybe you should buy a zoo or whatever, wherever the conversation was going. Yeah, and you can see what movie we watched last night to escape time. Ask questions. Well, hang on, stop the bus a bit. You just said you jumped off the top of the Colton Center this week, the top of Africa. Did you have a parachute? Did you have a bungee cord on? No? Oh, so it was a dream. I get it now. Okay, so I'm going to interact and ask some questions. It's okay. Don't make them feel like you're the Gestapo grilling them really hectically. Reflect and restate. It's a time to say, well, hang on, am I hearing you right? Did you say this and this? And then sometimes you can put it in your own words slightly. I love it when people do that, because then I know, oh, you got me. You're understanding where I'm going. You're not just like going off pop, you know? It's like, hey, there's an understanding here. And then at some point speak, at least grunt, you know, if you're a male like me, like just grunt every now and then. You know, it's like, yeah, oh, that's cool. And then some more intelligent questions, like guys, ask girls afterwards for some examples. Like, can you say more about that? You know, that's like obviously very high grade. But like, if you can engage and backwards and forwards and ask some questions. Okay? No one likes speaking to someone when the person's not listening and not getting it. Right. Listen to people. They might offer you. I had a guy come to me at a breakfast in Colorado, and he said to me, I'd like to have brunch with you. I'd like to talk with you. I'm like, I'm at this big global conference. I've got so many people to speak with. I'm on stage. I'm like doing all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. I did have breakfast with him. He gave me $100,000. The exchange rate was 14 to 1. It was 1.4 million rand. I came this close to not setting up that breakfast meeting because I had another agenda and I nearly missed his offer of a church that wanted to back a movement that got me traveling to 16 African countries over 10 years before I started here as youth pastor. And there are thousands of leaders today who have benefited because I did actually listen. And a church from Michigan impacted this continent because my ears were open. Imagine if I didn't listen. Imagine. There's another thing we need to listen to, and that's listen to conscience. You know what it's like when there's that like voice that like says something to you, challenges you one way or another, and you know kind of instinctively whether something's right. We do need to train it. You know that a conscience improves when we're in God's word, when we hang out with other believers. You know, of course, that we can kill it. If I keep on going against what my conscience is saying, someone wrote, a seared conscience is one whose warning voice has been suppressed and perverted habitually, so that eventually, instead of serving as a guide, it only confirms the person in his premeditatedly evil course. Your conscience can be seared, says the Bible. We have to listen to our conscience. Listen in when it's speaking to you. You need to listen to leaders, to wise guys that have words for you. Wise guys and girls, right? Why? Imagine if you're in a conflict zone. There was a day when mayhem broke loose, and I saved my whole section. By the moment that first bullet went over my head, I just went this. And every one of my 9 section members hit the ground, and all of us walked out of that bloody skirmish alive. It could have gone really pear-shaped. We weren't the guys to lose our lives, and that day, the other side didn't fare as well. Listen, listen, it will save your life. This is what the Bible says. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. If I tell you to do something immoral, illegal, just dumb, stupid, you don't listen to me as your leader. But when I say something that goes with your conscience, goes with the word of God, goes with what a person should say in a leadership position, then you obey and listen, right? So I'm not saying next week we're going to do poison and kill ourselves. You say, well, I'll stop the bus. If it's okay, I'm not going to have your drink. You always need to have one person taste the communion juice next to you before you do. Aha, just careful next time you do that. I'm sure the leaders check that. Lastly, listening to God is critical, right? There was a story of this young guy. He hears his voice at night. He asks the old prophet, hey, what's up? You calling me? No, maybe it's God. Lord came and stood and called, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. I pray that would be the case for me, that I would be someone who listens when God speaks, not like Lot and his wife, who were told to flee the city and not look back. And this famous classic painting shows Lot's wife down in the valley there, about to become a pillow of salt. Not a nice experience. It's about listening. Stunning verse to reflect on for the rest of today. Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, or have this fellowship, this interaction, and he with me. Am I listening? And so are you. What one thing will you do differently after hearing this message? One thing this week that you're going to be different, so that you can have fire for listening in your life. And I want a handful of you to jump up and write something around the word listening over there, and we'll keep that as a memory. What can you do to be a better listener in this week? Who wants to be the bravest first one to scribble something? Debbie will hand out a couple pieces of chalk so you can do it simultaneously, because we literally have minus 20 seconds. Imagine if someone says to you, do you have some time this week want to talk about? I head up a company and there's some bursaries and possibilities. You need to hear that, right? Wow, because that might just be God's next step in your development to becoming who you are meant to be here on earth. You got to listen. Why? Your life depends on how well you listen. I'm going to show you a video as we close, as the people just write their last comments about listening on the wall. It's a story about this young boy, and it's a 30-second story. Shame, doesn't he look pretty sad and miserable? Okay, here's how it goes.
The boy who didn't stop, look, and listen. Before his leg was bent backwards, he loved to play football all day. But the boy didn't cross in a safe place, where he could see cars come his way. He then didn't stop, look, and listen. A car hit him at quite a pace. And now he cannot play football, 'cause his leg broke in more than one place.
Cool, eh? It's like road safety, I guess. But listen. Listen. Listen out. Listen more. Let's pray. Father, help us. Help us to be those ultimately who listen for your voice. But those who listen to people around us, to listen to wise folk who have gone before, who have made mistakes, who have something to teach us. Help us to listen to the conscience that's within us, that you've placed there. Help us to feed that conscience with your word. Help us, dear Lord, to listen when people engage us in conversations. Help us just to listen to our surroundings. Lord, what's going on around us? Help us to enjoy the beauty of creation, the noise even of the city, that helps us to pray that you would bless the city. We thank you, Lord, that we can be those who will hear you speak, and we would do great things on your behalf. Amen.